Welcome to worship at Advent. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
The prophet Isaiah addresses the injustice that is suffered by those who follow the way of the Lord. The evil, broken world will convict and kill them. In spite of this suffering, God will have the final word. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made the intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm this morning is Psalm 91 on page 4 in your bulletins, and we will read in unison. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, there shall no evil happen to you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They shall bear you in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder. You shall trample the young lion and the serpent under your feet. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I am with him in trouble. I will rescue him and bring him to honor. For long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. High priest, Jesus identified with our struggles and conquered them. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of the Lord according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just before I read from Mark 10, I'm going to sidetrack to what Denise was reading from Hebrews 10 about the day that everything will be laid bare. And the concept is that it's so important that we be honest with ourselves and with the Lord. A while ago I was driving and not paying attention to the speed limit. Now, by God's grace, I've never had a moving violation. That's amazing. Because I do a lot of moving. But I got pulled over by a cop, and he walked up and said, "Do you realize you were speeding?" And I said, "I really just noticed it. Yeah, I really was. I'm sorry." So he said, "So you're taking responsibility?" I said, "Of course, I did it. This is just a warning because you took responsibility. Go ahead." I was stunned. I was due a ticket. But that's the gospel. We're due a ticket because of our sinfulness, but the Lord paid for the ticket, and that's salvation by grace through faith. So from that on to Mark 10. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Stop for a second, and Jesus says to himself, "Yeah, right." Then verse 36, "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" And they answered, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard of this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. This morning I want to speak to you out of Psalm 91. And the concept being that we live in unusually challenging times, and it matters what we believe. What you believe shapes your life and your response to life. So think about that. Then I want to take you way back. You might remember the Roadrunner cartoons. If you're close to my age, you will. And the Roadrunner was always chased by the coyote, by the Wile E. Coyote. And the Roadrunner always won. Often an Acme safe would fall on the coyote, but Roadrunner would be safe. Now, in real life, there is a Roadrunner, and the Roadrunner runs about 20 miles per hour. In real life, the coyote runs about 43 miles an hour. So every time, the Roadrunner will lose, and the coyote has lunch. So the story of the Roadrunner cartoon is fake news. He can never win. And so it matters what you believe, because it shapes our life. And if you believe that which isn't true, you may be the one that gets an Acme safe clunked on your head. It's an important thing. And there are many different, in our world, there are many different ways to believe, different ways to understand the reality in our life. This morning, or rather last evening, I was at the Cleveland Clinic visiting my sister-in-law, Linda, who is back in the hospital after having been out just about 4 days. Has her major issue is a heart issue. And so, in addition to talking about family, we also talk about life and death and the struggle with dealing with a very vulnerable time in her life. And the question is this the end of my life, or am I going to be healed and restored? And the perspective that we have shapes everything. She believes that the truth of the Bible, the revelation of who Jesus is. So in spite of the struggle that she has and the pain that she's in right now, she has peace in a turbulent time. The first verse of Psalm 91 is this: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." That's the 911 verse, the emergency verse. When I'm in trouble, there's a place where I can go, where it says dwells in the shadow. The word dwells in Hebrew means to make permanent residence, to make permanent residence in the shelter of the Lord's hand, under his covering. And when it speaks about under the shadow of the Almighty, think about it in terms of the hottest summer day you can remember. Shadow impacts the intense heat, makes it less. And there's a place where we can get shade when we are under this real deep struggle. And that's in the presence of the Lord. And it's such an important reminder for us, especially when we go through tough stuff, that it doesn't mean that we don't struggle. It doesn't mean that we aren't sick. It doesn't mean that ultimately we don't die. The Bible says it's given for man once to die. But it means that going through all of that, there's a place of peace and security that the Lord provides for us. A part of what that means for me is that God will give complete security to the person who puts their trust in him, who says, "My trust is not in my own ability, but my trust is in the favor and presence of the Lord in my life, even through difficult times." And the truth is, we all face circumstances that are out of our control. And that's really the type of thing that Psalm 91 addresses, not the little things. I was stopped for speeding. I was guilty. That's not the kind of thing this is talking about. It's not talking about those times when I might have imbibed too much. Here's a fun one from, this was from Long Island, the first time I fasted, and all I drank was water for a week. And I didn't realize that there could be withdrawal from caffeine. And I had the world's most ferocious headaches and upset stomach. And then an old veteran Christian says, "So did you cut out coffee altogether?" And I, "Of course." And the pain wasn't an attack from heaven. It was a consequence to the change in my diet, the extreme change in my diet. That's not what Psalm 91 is talking about, but it's talking about unexpected things that come into our life. In verses 3 and 13, "For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from deadly pestilence." And then verse 13, "You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample upon." There are times that we get caught, like the snare of the trapper. It's a trap that's set for a bird in order to trap the bird to kill it. And there are attacks in our life that are like that. It's not because we are doing anything wrong. It's just because we are living. And Psalm 91 talks about how the Lord provides for us a place of sanctuary, even when difficult, even painful things happen in our life. Verse 4 says, "He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wing you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark." A shield. He's going to be there. I happen to be a Marvel superheroes fan, and my favorite is Captain America. And one of the things that keeps him safe, he has vibranium in his shield that protects him from everything. Now, we're not given vibranium. That's just a cartoon thing. But we're given someone in our lives through Jesus who is far stronger than vibranium, and he's a shield to us. When the difficult things come in our life, we can put up the shield that will protect the attack of the enemy from coming against us and doing harm. And that's the core of where Psalm 91 is, that there are times that we are brought under such attack that is not because of anything we've done, but it's because we are an enemy of the evil one. The beginning of verse 5 says, I love this, "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day." There are terrors at night, fears. There are arrows that fly at day. They're real. When you come to Christ, you have an enemy. So that's such an important thing to grasp. Sometimes we can't understand the things that are happening in our lives. A while back on Long Island, we were having some unusual things happen. My sister-in-law, Linda, and my brother, Finn, were visiting. And in one day, Finn had an apparent heart attack. Another guy in the church had a heart attack. I took my brother to the hospital. The other guy, Lee, also went. And by God's grace, they were okay afterwards. But here's what we found. And you don't have to believe exactly like I believe. It's just that you should know that I'm right. Humbly so, but right. We found one of the things at that era, there were several covens of witches on Long Island, and someone had broken into our church at night and smeared what appeared to be goat's blood on the backside of the altar. And speaking a curse over the church. And as we found that, cleansed it, rededicated the altar to the Lord, things calmed down in an amazing way that says, we were really under attack by the enemy, but by God's grace we were protected. We put up the shield of faith, and that actually gave us the discernment to look through the church and see if there was something that had been placed there as a curse, and we found it. Paul says in Ephesians 6, "In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." That corresponds exactly to Psalm 91, that there's a shield of faith that we have that can protect us from those attacks from the enemy. Paul says that trusting God is like putting up that shield. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. The day will come, Revelation says, when the accuser will be cast out, But he is present and active in the minds of believers, seeking to discourage and disrupt us from what God has for our lives. Something that's so important for me to remember, difficult things happen, of course they do, but as believers, we are chosen. We are not forsaken. We are chosen by the Lord when we come to Christ. We will never be forsaken. We always have a place where we can go to hide under the shadow of the Almighty, under the covering of his wings. In verse 6 it says, "Don't dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday." And a part of what that can mean, in an agricultural society, that was an attack on the crops and animals. In our day, it would be an attack on our livelihood, the way that we support ourselves, make a living, on our finances. And the devil would love to attack us. There are variables in our life that change the sense of security over what we have. But in verse 7, I was reading this between the services in the 1970 published version that's in the Bible, in the office of the New American Bible. It's not new anymore, but the truth in it is just as new. Verse 7 says, "Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 at your right side, it'll not come near you." There are attacks. The enemy would seek to befuddle, destroy, confuse, distort. Others may fall who are clueless, but it won't come near you because you believe the truth. You understand who you are in Christ, that you're a chosen son or daughter of the King, and that he has purpose for your life, and that no matter what the circumstance is, that you were protected and guarded until that day when the Lord returns and we discover that there's a place prepared for us. That's an important part of our heritage and promise. Though 1,000 fall at my side, though 10,000 at my right hand, it won't come near me. Doesn't mean I won't get sick. Doesn't mean I won't have turbulence. But it means that I have the shield of faith that will protect me from doing damage here and from doing damage here. It's a powerful promise. In Psalm 91, we see that God uses supernatural means to protect his people. There are some who don't believe in the work of the devil. My position is, my conviction is that Jesus did, so I will. As a matter of fact, when Jesus went into the wilderness, Satan quoted a portion of Psalm 91 to Jesus about the protection of the angels. Psalm 91:12, "They will bear you up in their hands that you not strike your foot against a stone." There's an angelic band that intercedes on behalf of God's people. Can't see him. The devil believed in him. Jesus believed in them. And so I think that's an important aspect of our lives, that we are not going through our life by ourselves. We have the protection of heaven that guards our hearts against the arrows that will come against us, against those things that would seek to derail us from being the child of God that we're called to be. I want to close with verses 14 through 16. This is in the New American Standard Bible Version. "Because he has loved me," these are the words of the Lord back to us. "Because he has loved me," or "because you have loved him, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation." No matter where you are, that's the promise of the Lord for our lives. Let's continue our service now by confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Prayers of the people this morning are Form 6, and they're found on page 7 in your bulletin. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. In peace we pray to you, Lord God, for all people in their daily life and work, for our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone. For this community, the nation, for the servicemen and women and their families, and the world. For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace. For the just and proper use of your creation. For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression. For all who are in danger, sorrow, for the homeless, or for those in any kind of trouble. For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy. For the peace and unity of the Church of God. For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth. For Archbishop Welby, our presiding Bishop Curry, our own bishops Hollingsworth and Love, and for all bishops and other ministers, especially Pastor Paul. For all who serve God in his church. For the special needs and concerns of this congregation. For those on Advent's prayer list. For health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Julie, Bill and Judy, Irv, Joan, Karen, Lois, Michael, Arthur, Marilyn, Velta, Rose, Dave, George, for Friends of Advent, Tony, the Eliza Jennings residents, for Sylvia Little and Bishop Little, for Betty, for Rebecca. Hear us, Lord. For your mercy is great. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. For family and friends. We will exalt you, O God our King, and praise your name forever and ever. We pray for all who have died that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them who put their trust in you. We will say the following prayer together. O God, who inspired your apostles in Jerusalem to pray and fast to discern your will, send us and the vestry of our parish your Spirit, that together we may learn what you would have us to do in calling a rector and revealing to us the words and witness you would have us offer, that your kingdom may come and your power made known in our congregation to the glory of your name. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone, and so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgiving you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthening you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let's share that now with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Running on a loop.
Oh, thank you.
I know we have at least two people that went up to Albany. Awesome. Two families. Dick's up there with Linda, and I think the Gages are up there as well, celebrating a healing service with Bishop Love. To those of you that contributed the snowblower, good deal. We got enough money in the budget. I'm going to pick one up, and we'll get rid of the old one and bring in the new one. One question for Pastor Paul.
Yes.
Did you have your collar on when you were stopped?
That's a really good question.
I wonder if he may have been influenced.
I did have my Bible in a predominantly seen spot.
Very good. Denise. Good morning.
I bet you all have no idea why I'm standing here. Today is the first new gift session that I have this fall. Pastor Paul is definitely led by the Spirit of the Lord, because as I'm listening to his sermon, he's talking about the devil who leads us astray. Well, in essence, Goliath, whatever our personal Goliath is, whatever our giant in our life is, it's the devil that has put it there, that's trying to derail us.
Thanks, Denise. Kudos, John. Thank you for repairing that bench outside, John. Replacing that slat that had broken apart in there. We're doing a Bible study at 9 o'clock. If you care to join that, by Dr. Stephen Meyer. It's not really a Bible study. It's just insight. He's has a college class and trying to discover if there is a God. It's a very good study. I've seen this once before. Other than that, there will be somebody in the back to pray with you if you have any needs. Peace of the Lord be with you.
Let's take time now and present our offerings to the Lord. Under your arm. I know. Yep. Continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. Our Lord stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. And we remember that on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also, after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup and lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts, O Lord. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Now let us join in prayer as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I invite you to come in faith and receive the gift that the Lord has provided for us. This is not protocol. That was really excellent, wasn't it? It adds to the experience of worship. Thank you, guys. Let's join together in the post-communion prayer. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen. Now the peace of Jesus that passes all human understanding, guard and keep your lives this week.